What place are you in tonight? I'm not asking what building you're in or what town you're in, but what place are you in spiritually tonight? You know, God has a special place for each one of His sheep. And are you in that place tonight that God has for you? Tonight we're going to look at some descriptions of that place that will not only help us determine if we are in the location that God has for us or moving in the direction that God has for us, but hopefully will also help us to help to motivate us to get in that place that God has. If you can take your Bibles tonight and turn to Psalm number 23. Some of you might have already been in 2 Corinthians, but if you are, you'll have to turn. Psalm 23, we're not going to focus on this whole psalm tonight, but I'd like to read the whole psalm, Psalm number 23. And we'll stand, Psalm 23, let's read the whole psalm in unison this evening. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. Let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Lord, we pray that You would be with us this evening as we look at Your Word. Lord, we pray for Your guidance, and Lord, that the Spirit of God would be working in each heart this evening. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. The first place that I'd like us to see this evening, as we look at the first phrase here, the Lord is my shepherd. As we think about that phrase there, the Lord is my shepherd, we find that the place that God has for us is a place of listening. In John chapter 10, verse 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice. And the place that God has for His sheep is a place of listening. My sheep hear my voice. I wonder tonight, do you hear the voice of God? He has a place that He wants to lead you. But if you're not hearing His voice, you're not going to be in the place that He has for you. There's direction. He says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. God has direction for our lives. And the Lord is my shepherd. That's a place of listening. And I wonder tonight, do you hear His voice? And the first requirement to hear His voice is that you must be one of His sheep. If you're not one of His sheep tonight, you're not going to hear His voice. But if you're a believer tonight, as the song was just sung, are you surrendered to His voice? Are there other things in your life that are maybe crowding out His voice, that you're having a hard time listening to what He has to say? We find it is a place of listening. We also find it is a place of learning. The Lord is my shepherd. Learning the places that He has for us. In Psalm 119, it says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." You know, God has a place for each one of his sheep. And if we are not in a place where we're listening, where we are learning his will from his word, we are not going to be in that place that he has for us. We find it's a place of learning. He is leading us. You know, if we think we can find those green pastures on our own, if we think we're going to find the water that is going to help sustain us on our own, if we go to the wrong sources, we're going to miss what God has for us. The Lord is my shepherd. We find it is a place of loyalty. It says here, the Lord is what? The Lord is my shepherd. It's a place of loyalty. I wonder, where is your loyalty tonight? It says in Isaiah 48 and verse 11, "My glory will I not give to another." You know, God wants our loyalty. He does not want to get, he does not want us to give our loyalty to anyone else. He wants our undivided attention. The Lord is my shepherd. Does he have that place of loyalty in your heart tonight? You know, a phrase that happens a number of times in the book of Ezekiel, or a similar phrase, that they may know that I am the Lord. Do you have that loyalty tonight? There are so many, you know, people easily give their loyalty out to various causes. You know, one cause that people can be loyal to in our society is a sports team. You know, you can have a team that is bad, you know, losing record, a bad losing record, and yet you still have thousands of people that will come and watch them play. And they have a losing record. Why? They have loyal fans. You know, yet something bad will happen in somebody's life, and what do? Maybe stop going to church. You know, maybe run from God. But yet in our society, we'll have people, and they'll give themselves to go to a sports game for a team that has a losing record. You know, you have people who paint, you know, one half of their face green and the other half of their face gold, yet some Christians wouldn't dare dress too distinctively and show their loyalty to Christ.
That's right.
You know, we have people give their loyalty maybe to a certain restaurant, maybe a brand name. You know, they'll wear it on their shirts. They'll talk about it to others. You know, they're even willing to argue to other people about why theirs is the best. Have you ever heard of somebody maybe getting the argument about, do you like Pepsi better or Coca-Cola better? You know, and people will be willing to argue about it. They'll be willing to talk to others about it. They'll be willing to wear it on their shirt. But yet, how willing are we to show our loyalty to Christ? You know, it can be so hard for us to talk to somebody. It can be so hard for us to stand up for what's right. You know, some of you in the Christian school, you can have a hard enough time in a Christian school standing up for Christ. You know, how would you fare in a non-Christian environment? The Lord is my shepherd. In Ezekiel chapter 37, if you could please turn there tonight. Ezekiel 37, verses 23 and 24. Ezekiel 37, 23 and 24. "Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols." Notice their lack of loyalty. "Nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them so shall they be my people, and I will be their God. Notice the loyalty here to get rid of the idols, the detestable things. Verse 24, and David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Notice the place of loyalty as they have one shepherd. There is what? There is one God that they are serving. They have set aside the idols. They have set aside the detestable things. They have set aside the transgressions. Now there is a loyalty to Christ. You know, the place that God has for us tonight is a place of loyalty. And if we're going to be able to say tonight, the Lord is my shepherd, God says, I will not give my glory to another. And that is a place of loyalty, a place of undivided attention to our God. The Bible says that God is a what? God is a jealous God. The attention that ought to rightfully go to Him must be placed on Him. And that place that God has for us tonight is a place of loyalty. You can turn back to Psalm number 23. We find that it is a place of purposeful movement and rest. You say, well, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. There's movement and there's rest. Well, in this passage, what does it say? Verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. There is rest, but there is also movement. But this is not a movement that is without purpose. There is a purpose behind this movement. Notice in verse number 4, it says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, in reading in one commentary, talked about how they would, you know, when a shepherd would lead his flock through these valleys, these deep valleys, and they were uncomfortable, very uncomfortable things, places to go through. But ultimately, why would the shepherd be leading them through something like that? Well, he'd be leading them to what? To another pasture. But we see here, or maybe there was another person, but we see here in this passage, there is rest, but there is also movement. You know, what happens when there is no movement in our lives? What happens to a sheep that doesn't move? Well, if it's on his back, it's going to die. If it's sitting there, it's not going to be able to eat. It eventually, you know, stagnation happens in our lives when we're not moving. But there's also a place of rest. This movement is not a movement that lacks purpose. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, what did Christ say to the multitudes? They what? They wandered about as what? As sheep, having no shepherd. And tonight, if we are in the place that God wants us, it's a place of purposeful movement. It's not a place where we are wandering out by ourselves. It's not a place where we're just sitting in the same spot and not going anywhere spiritually. In Ezekiel chapter 34, I will try to find it quickly here and read it for you. Ezekiel 34 and verse number 6. Or verse number 5, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth. And none did search or seek after them. What does it say, verse 5? And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. You know, when we lack purpose in our lives, when we are wandering in our lives, why is it? Because we are not under the shepherd's guidance in our lives, giving us purposeful movement, where we should go, where we should feed. You know, we find our sustenance in things that do not satisfy. We find it's a place of purposeful movement and rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall" what? "And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Notice, there was a place of rest. But that place of rest was not in the place that they wanted to go. And they said, we're not going to go there. God said, ask for the old paths. Where's the good way? And walk therein. You know, we've got a lot of people today that don't want the old paths. You know, they want something new. They want something, you know, exciting. But they have the wrong definition of excitement. And God says, you're going to find rest when you walk in my paths, when you follow the movements that I tell you to make. You know, where are you getting direction tonight? You know, the place that God has for us is a place of purposeful movement, but it is also a place of rest. Ye shall find rest for your souls when you are in the good way, when you are in the old paths. Over in Psalm number 37 and verse 7, it talks about how we need to rest in the Lord. It says in Psalm 37, 7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." You know, a sheep can quickly scatter. And I believe his name is Philip Keller in his book on A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. You know, he talks about one day one of his relatives or friend or somebody came over to visit, and they had one of these little dog. And that dog hopped out of the car or whatever they came in. And boy, those sheep, I mean, just took off. And he said, it doesn't take much for sheep to scatter. And, you know, it doesn't take much for us to scatter, to run ahead of God, to fear the slightest thing. But God wants us to rest in Him, to wait patiently for Him. Don't jump ahead of God's plan, but rest in Him. And there will be purposeful movement. And there will be rest for our souls. We find that it is a place of decision. What does it say in Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. No, it's a place of decision. It's a place that requires trust. It's a place of faith. It's a place of dependence. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There is going to be no lack in my life. And the psalmist here is really giving a description of what the shepherd does. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. It is a place of dependence. It is a place of decision. It requires that we understand, or it helps when we understand the merits of the one that we are entrusting ourselves to. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, why would we want to make the Lord our shepherd? Well, because of the merits that He has. There's no other shepherd that is worthy of our following tonight. But the Lord is our shepherd, and He has all the qualifications to lead us. You know, Psalm 100 says, "For the Lord is what? The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." But yet so many people get off on something that's false. They get off on a lie, something that will only last for a short time. But His truth endureth to all generations. He is omniscient. And imagine if you could hire somebody, if you were owner of a company or you're a boss at a place, and you could hire somebody that knew everything. Well, I mean, sometimes you hire somebody that thinks maybe they know everything, and that can be a problem. But somebody that, you know, that actually know a sports team, all right, and they, you know, if they hire somebody on from another team, maybe that team, that coach was at this team a week before. Maybe they have rules or something for it. But maybe that coach was at one team the week before, and he comes right over to this team. You know, that's going to give what? This team an advantage, because he's going to have an idea of all the plays that this team over here has. You know, we have a God that is omniscient. He knows the enemy that we are facing. He knows everything about the struggles that we are going through. He knows everything about us. He knows all of our thoughts even before we think them, as it says in Psalm 139. He has all the qualifications, and tonight we need to realize the merits of the one who is our shepherd. If you are saved tonight, He knows. He is omniscient. Psalm 139, I alluded to it, but Psalm 139, verse number 2, notice the qualifications here, the merits of the shepherd. "Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether." Go down to verse 9. "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me." Verse 16. "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them." And then down in verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and what? And lead me in the way everlasting." You know, do you want that direction of the omniscient shepherd tonight? He knows everything about you. He knows every enemy that you are facing. He has created you. He knows exactly how you operate tonight. You know, you can say to somebody else, "Well, you just don't understand me." Well, guess what? God understands everything about you. And there is nothing about you that can be hid from Him. Do you recognize His omniscience tonight? Do you recognize that He is omnipotent? Not only does He know every problem that we have, but He knows how to solve it. There is nothing too hard for God. It is a place of decision. Are we going to put ourselves in His arms? Are we going to entrust ourselves to Him, recognizing the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? Yet Satan is going to tempt us to saying, "Well, what about all these issues in my life that I'm lacking in?" Well, the lack is not in the shepherd tonight. The lack is somewhere in our own hearts, in our dependence upon the shepherd. It is a place of decision tonight. He is immutable. You know, the Lord has the same shepherding abilities today as He had when this psalm was written. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, in 2 Kings chapter 6, the king of Assyria was coming to fight against Israel. And he was going to come, it says, then the king of Israel warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And then Elijah comes and Elisha comes and tells the king of Israel what was going to happen. It says, and the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of and saved himself there, not once nor twice. You know, it says, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. You know, God was their shepherd, the omniscient God. He knew exactly what the king of Syria was going to do and was able to use Elisha to warn them. Do you realize that we serve that same God today? He knows the thoughts. You know, the enemy, some situation maybe you're facing at work, God knows exactly what that person's thinking. God knows exactly what's going on. But we need to decide to place our complete dependence in the hands of the shepherd and recognize that there is nothing that we will lack when he is our shepherd. You know what's interesting here is here this king knew that Elisha was telling, or at least according to his servant, and what does he do? You know, he said, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. You know, and he sends this host after him to get Elisha. You know, just like the Egyptian army when the children of Israel come out of Egypt, God does all these great things. And what do? They go marching right into the Red Sea. And God brings the waves upon them, the water upon them, and they all die. It just shows, in a sense, the foolishness of man's thinking and how apart from God's intervention in our lives, we don't think spiritually. And so here they send the army after him, Elisha. God works, the servant's afraid. But he says, you know, look, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes to the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And I believe the men, you know, God struck him with blindness. And anyways, God worked. This is the shepherd that we have. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's immutable. He is a good God. His merits are worthy of us choosing him as our shepherd. Find it's a place of quiet assurance. What does it say in Psalm 23? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. In his book, Philip Keller points out four things that hinder sheep from lying down. This man was a shepherd for 8 years and wrote a book on Psalm 23. He says there's four things. He says there's fear. I gave the illustration earlier about the dog, but fear will keep sheep from lying down. Friction within the flock. If any of you have had animals before, you understand that there is, like with chickens, there's a pecking order. You know, you stick some new chickens in with that flock of birds, and guess what? If they're smaller than the ones in there, they're going to let those ones know. Or you put a new, you have a herd of cows or steers or something, you put a new one in there, and they got an order, so to speak, of who's in charge. And that friction, can keep sheep from lying down. There can be flies or parasites, small things that distress them. It can be a lack of food. You know, they're hungry. Well, they're going to be out searching for food. You know, but when the Lord is our shepherd, He makes us to lie down in green pastures. In His presence, when we are with Him, He can take away that fear. He can solve those problems of friction. He can provide us with the spiritual nourishment that brings rest to our souls. There's the hymn, feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath His sheltering wing. You know, tonight, are you feasting on the riches of His grace? Are you in that place of quiet assurance as He makes us to lie down? This psalm here emphasizing what He is doing. He is the one that makes us to lie down. You know, if we're going our way, we're going to have a hard time being able to lie down in green pastures. He talks in his book about how a sheep, he's had it before with lambs, where in 100 days, I guess we didn't raise lambs too much. We did some down there on the farm, but I don't know how unusual this is. But he said in 100 days, when there was enough, when there was good pasture, good greens for them to eat, in 100 days a lamb could reach 100 pounds. When there was that good pasture. You know, imagine if we would grow like that as believers, spiritually. You know, is that the pace that's taking place in our lives? Really, it puts us, many of us, to shame. He maketh us to lie down in green pastures, a place of quiet assurance and of growth. It is a place of sustenance. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He also pointed out in his book how sheep, you know, the importance of water, but sheep can survive a number of days without actually going, may have even said months, but there was quite a long period of time they can go without actually going to a body of water if there's a good dew in the morning. If they get up early enough in the morning and they're able to feed on grass that has a heavy dew, or at night, I believe, when the dew is there as well, when they feed on that grass, they can get enough water to carry them through the day. And he made the comparison to our spiritual lives as when we, those that are able to make it through those tough times are the ones that wake up early, that spend that time with God. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He talked about how taking sheep to, I think he said he had observed this where, I don't know if he was or someone was taking sheep to a mountain stream. And anyways, he's taking these sheep are being led to this great source of clean water. And along the way, there's some muddy puddles. Maybe other sheep have stepped in them, not only stepped in them, but some of their waste has gone into some of these puddles and they're infected. And yet these sheep would stop and drink from those. Some of the sheep would stop and drink from those pools of water and would drink up whatever parasites or things that were in that water. And he said down the road, you would begin to see the effects of that water that they had drank. You know, in the spiritual illustration, he's pointing out about how we stop and drink at another stream, at another water source. And it may not show right away, but later on, it begins to become evident in our lives. And in the book of Jeremiah, what happened to the people in Jeremiah's day? Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse number 13. It says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know, our shepherd tonight will lead us to that perfect living waters. You know, he in John chapter 4, talks about the living water. You know, where are we getting our source of sustenance tonight? The place that God has for us is a place of sustenance. In Isaiah chapter 40:11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Are we in that place? You know, if we are spiritually famished tonight, it is not the fault of the shepherd, but it's because we are not following him to the right source of food, which is the Word of God. You know, we may be feasting ourselves on some other source that's not only the wrong source, but it's also making us sickly. It's also weakening us spiritually. And you know, you're not in the place tonight where God is working in your life. It is because there is probably some other source that is, can't even really use the word sustaining, but is breaking you down, is giving you some disease, spiritual disease tonight. And you need to forsake that source and come to the real source of living water tonight. So we find it's a place of sustenance. But not only is it a place of sustenance, but it's a place of restoration. You know, what an encouraging thought as we think of verse number 3. He restoreth my soul. And we're going to end with this phrase this evening in verse number 3. But he restoreth my soul. It is a place of restoration. In Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse number 4, it gives really, in a sense here, the job of a shepherd here. Verse 4 says, the diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. You know, God is in the restoring business tonight, so to speak. You know, God is wanting to restore, to heal. You know, tonight, will you come to him for that restoration? I know I've made a number of references to his book, but he talks about how it, when a sheep is cast down. You know, and did it happen one time where we had a sheep go upside down and it died next to the fence there? You know, sheep can't right themselves, I believe, when they get on their back and they just sit there and then they get in a state of panic and they start, you know, kicking their legs. And they're cast down. And there's some different, he gave three reasons of why this happens. One reason is because sometimes they choose a spot to lay down. It might be a little more comfortable, maybe a little bit of a hollow that they can lay in. Another reason is their coats get, their wool gets too long. And I think if they become a little bit unbalanced. And also if they become overweight, they can easily become cast down. He talked about there was one ewe that was, that every year she had a problem when she was getting, I think, close to lambing time. And, she, you know, he'd have to really be on the watch out. I don't know how long in advance, but she would constantly, she was, become, you know, getting cast down. And he'd have to go out there and rescue her. But it was something, you know, that as a shepherd, he had to be aware of counting his sheep, making sure that, you know, all of them were there. Because one could be cast down somewhere, and if he didn't get there in enough time, especially if the weather, I believe, was hot, the sheep would die. And, you know, he talked about how there could be sheep that were healthy that could become cast down. You know, maybe those are the ones that would maybe choose a comfortable place and it would throw them off balance. But there were also sheep that had some other issues that would cause him to get cast down. You know, in our life tonight, doesn't matter how, so to speak, spiritually strong you are. When we lose our dependence on the Lord, we will very easily become cast down. You know, when there are other things in our lives that are going to throw us off balance, we can easily become cast down. But God is in the restoration business tonight. And He restoreth my soul. He puts us back where we need to be. I wonder tonight, do you need that restoration to take place in your life? What place do you find yourself in? Do you need to take your life and entrust it? Maybe there needs to be a rededication to the shepherd this evening as you see the great merits of His love. You know, maybe tonight your need is salvation and you need to place yourself in His care. We have a great shepherd. The great shepherd that He gave His life for the sheep. There is no other shepherd that is worthy of our love this evening. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for even as it says in Your Word, the great shepherd of the sheep. And how He gave Himself for us. And tonight He is the one and Lord, which our love is due to Him. Lord, I pray tonight that each one of us would look in our own hearts and would examine, Lord, if we are in that place that You want us to be. Are we one of Your obedient sheep? Have we wandered, Lord, from that place that You have for us tonight? I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, is the Lord working in your life?